Welcome to the Pivotal Decisions Podcast, where we know that the decisions you make today will determine your tomorrow. I'm your host, Stan Parris, and I'm grateful to have you tuning in to the podcast. If you find the podcast valuable in any way, if you find the podcast something that is helpful to you, then I hope you'll share it with your friends and family and let them know about Pivotal Decisions. And one big way that you could be a blessing and one way that you could really be helpful is to subscribe to the YouTube channel, Pivotal Decisions YouTube channel. All you have to do is go to YouTube, type in Pivotal Decisions Podcast, and it will pop right up. You hit that subscribe button, and that's it. And you will have access to all of the content of the Pivotal Decisions Podcast. Now, in a series of podcasts that I've been doing for the last month or so here on Pivotal Decisions, we are discussing major end time events. Now, I can't talk about every piece of this, but we're trying to focus on some of the major end time events. And so far, I have talked about the rapture, that moment where it could happen at any moment. There's no signs that have to take place that for the rapture to happen. At any moment, the rapture can happen. Those who are saved and have died, their physical body will be raised out of the ground to meet the Lord in the air. And those who are on the earth who are saved will be caught up off the earth and meet Jesus in the air. It's the rapture. We talk next about the tribulation. Right after that, the rapture will be this 7-year period of time known as the rapture, where the Bible describes it as hell on earth, where God pours out his wrath on the earth for 7 years. We also talked about the Antichrist, who will rise to power during that 7-year period of time, promising peace, but he will turn on the people, set himself up as God, and will reign over the earth, the Antichrist. We talked about the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast, we discussed how that during the tribulation, you will be marked somehow. It will determine whether you are a follower of the Antichrist or not. And it will determine really life or death. It's the mark of the beast. And the last episode, we talked about the battle at Armageddon. And this one final climactic battle of history, all the armies of the earth will gather at this place called Armageddon. And in that moment, we will see the greatest event in all of history, the second coming of Christ. And that's what we want to talk about today. Now, all of these topics, the rapture, tribulation, Antichrist, mark of the beast, battle at Armageddon, they're all found right here on Pivotal Decisions. Just go back and you can find those episodes. And I would encourage you to listen and learn about those events. The fact is that world history is barreling toward the conclusion that God has ordained. It isn't an end that will come because of nuclear war. It is not going to end with environmental irresponsibility. We should be good stewards of the environment, but that's not how it's going to end. The world is not going to end with some kind of alien invasion, even though there seems to be all this talk about possible aliens. The end of the world will come by the purpose and plan of God. It's foretold in Scripture. And so we know that at some moment, Christ will return. Scholars say that there are a total of 1,527 Old Testament passages that refer to the second coming of Jesus. There are approximately 8,000 verses in the New Testament, and 330 of those, or about one out of every 25 verses, directly refer to the second coming. In fact, next to the subject of faith, no subject is mentioned more often than the second coming of Jesus. For every time the first coming of Christ is mentioned, the second coming of Christ is mentioned 8 times. And the Lord himself refers to his coming 21 times, and over 50 times we are commanded to be ready for this great event the second coming of Jesus. Now, to understand this, the second coming of Christ, what we really have to do is just walk through the biblical text of Revelation 19, because that's where we find the most detailed picture of the second coming of Jesus. Now, let's remember the setting, because the setting is very important in understanding the second coming, so we're not confused by the timetable of the end events. The earth is nearing the end of the seven-year period of time known as the tribulation. God is judging the world. He's pouring out his wrath on the earth. After the rapture, the seven-year period of time, God is pouring out his wrath on the earth. And in a final act of rebellion, the Antichrist, the kings of the earth, those people that are still on the earth at this time, will gather one last time at that place called Armageddon. And there will be this one final war to defeat Jesus Christ. The Antichrist, along with the false prophet, will lead this massive army into the battle. And in that moment, when all the nations of the earth are gathered at this place called Armageddon, the Bible tells us we will see the second coming of Jesus. Revelation 19:11. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Now let's break this down. With all the armies of the earth and with the Antichrist gathered at Armageddon, the scripture says here that the heavens opened. Now, the first time that Jesus came to the earth, he came in relative obscurity. But the second coming of Christ will be a lot different. Revelation 1:7 puts it this way: Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Every eye will see him. At Jesus' first coming, the only witnesses were Mary and Joseph and a few animals in the stable. That's it. But when he returns the second time, it says here that the entire world will see him. Every eye will see him. Now, previous generations struggled with this. How would this be possible? How could every eye see him? But now, with all of our technology, this is easily believable. Every eye will see him. Now, Revelation 19, verse 11 said there that Jesus, when he returns, will be on a white horse. And the Bible's showing us something here by giving us that detail. When Jesus was on the earth the first time, remember, he came in humility. He lived in humility. He said there's no place for the Son of Man to lay his head. He lived in humility. He rode into Jerusalem before the crucifixion and resurrection on the back of a donkey. He was humiliated on a cross. But here the Bible shows him at the second coming on a white horse. Roman generals in their triumphant processions would ride down the streets of Rome on the back of a white horse. At the second coming, Jesus is coming, you see, as the conquering king. He is coming as a warrior. And it says there that he is called Faithful and True. That's who Jesus is. He's faithful to his promises. The Lord never fails. He speaks only truth. He promised he would come, and he did. Here's the good news in this: that no matter the trial you're going through, he's faithful and true. Just this week, the week of this recording, there was a family, a situation where they received some really bad news. But in the midst of that, the good news is that Jesus is faithful and Jesus is true. He will not desert you. His promises are true wherever you are in life. If you know Christ, he will come to you. He will not desert you. He's faithful and true. And it says there in verse 11 of Revelation 19, with justice he judges and makes war. He has to judge. Why? because he's faithful and true. He has to do what is right. And so at the second coming, he's not coming in obscurity. He's coming, and every eye will see him, and he is coming to fight. Revelation 19:12. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. His eyes are like a blazing fire. Nothing escapes his notice. He sees into your heart. I mean, if he's going to judge the world accurately, he has to be able to see your heart. So his eyes are like a blazing fire. He can see behind the mask we wear, the show we put on, the hypocrisy that we live behind. His eyes are like a blazing fire. He is wearing many crowns, meaning he has authority. Now, this is interesting because in Revelation 12, it says that Satan was wearing seven crowns. In Revelation 13, it says that the Antichrist was wearing 10 crowns. At the cross, they mocked Jesus, and they put a crown of thorns on his head. But here it says that Jesus, on his head, wore many crowns. You know what that means? It means there's coming a day when all of the earthly kings will give up their crowns. Satan, the Antichrist, all the rulers of the world, they will give up their crowns, and all the crowns will be on the head of Jesus Christ. Then it says, notice, he has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. A lot of people ask, what is this name? Well, nobody knows. Nobody knows. And there's no reason to even try to guess. John saw, but he could not comprehend it. And it's a reminder, we can't understand God. He's above and beyond anything that we could possibly understand. So nobody knows the name. Revelation 19:13. It says, he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. It says there that he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. Where did the blood come from? Well, this is not his first battle. This is the last battle. This is the blood of his enemies. And there will be more bloodshed in this battle. And notice it says that his name is the Word of God. To make sure there is no mistake here, this is the Word of God, the revelation of God. This is Jesus Christ himself. The warrior king has come. In Revelation 19:14, now remember on this episode of Pivotal Decisions, we're just walking through the Revelation 19 as it describes for us the second coming of Christ. In Revelation 19:14 says, and the armies of heaven arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses, the armies of heaven. Well, who are the armies of heaven? Who were these armies of heaven? There are four groups that make up the armies of heaven. One group is the church. If you're saved today, that's you and me. We are coming back with Christ. The second group will be those who are saved during the tribulation. The rapture takes place. Those who've died and are saved are caught up to meet Jesus in the air. And all those who are saved on the earth will be caught up off the earth to meet Jesus in the air, meaning that the only people left on the earth at the beginning of the tribulation are those who are lost. So how could there be a group saved during the tribulation? Well, it will be hard and difficult because God will be no longer restraining evil the way God is restraining evil today. It will be very difficult, but some people will be saved during the tribulation, and they will come with Christ. The third group will be the Old Testament saints who had faith in God. They'll be part of this army of heaven. And finally, Jesus tells us in Matthew 25 that these groups of people, the church, those saved in the tribulation, and the Old Testament saints, they will be accompanied by heavenly angels. I mean, think of this picture, Christ coming, surrounded by the armies of heaven, the church, those saved in the tribulation, the Old Testament saints, and thousands upon thousands of angels. And notice it says here what we will be wearing, the church, these armies of heaven. We'll be dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, soldiers, anybody that's been in the military, you know that you're never going to go into a battle wearing fine linen, white and clean. I mean, you might go to the dance or your graduation wearing fine linen, white and clean, but you're not going into battle. You go into battle, you're wearing camouflage, but there's no camouflage here. Why? Because Jesus is the commander-in-chief of all these heavenly forces. And he's not clothing his army in camouflage. He's clothing his army in fine linen, white and clean. Why? Because the army will do no fighting. The armies of heaven will do no fighting in this battle. The battle will be carried out by the Word, who's faithful and true. Jesus will do all the fighting. He will win this battle on his own power. Revelation 19:15. From his mouth, you see, comes a sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. Jesus alone carries the sword. No one else has a weapon. The sword, you see, is a sword of judgment, and it's in his mouth. He speaks judgment on the earth. This is a picture of God's judgment. In ancient times, they would stomp the grapes and they would splatter, and that's the picture here. Jesus comes as the conquering king. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, it says. And the Word of God, who called this world into being, all that we know in creation, will carry every human leader and the whole of the world's armies into subjection to him. And the battle is over. Really, before it ever starts, the battle is over. Christ has come. In verse 16, it says, on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written. What's this name? King of kings and Lord of lords. At this moment, every man, woman, creature, demon, evil being in all of history will agree that Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. There's one important note I want you to see here, because some people get the rapture confused with the second coming of Christ. At the rapture, as I've said, he meets the people in the air. The dead, those who have died in Christ will be raised from the dead. Their physical bodies raised from the dead. They'll meet Jesus in the air. Those who are on the earth that are saved will be caught up off the earth and will meet Jesus in the air. But at the second coming, these are two separate events. Because at the second coming, the Bible tells us that Jesus will walk on the earth. Zechariah 14, the Bible says, then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as when he fights on a day of battle. This is the second coming, the Battle of Armageddon. And on that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east, and the mountain on the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mount shall move northward and the other half southward. Jesus ascended back into heaven from the Mount of Olives. He will return to the same exact place, and he will put his feet on the Mount of Olives, splitting the Mount of Olives, creating a valley in which he judges the world and establishes his kingdom. You see, when Jesus comes the second time, he will not come in humility and simplicity like he did the first time as a little baby. The second time, he will come in all of his glory and majesty, and he will be exalted and recognized by every human being that has ever existed as the King of all kings. Well, next time on Pivotal Decisions, I will discuss the marriage supper of the Lamb. Thank you for joining me today. If you find this episode helpful, I hope you'll share it with your friends. Be sure you subscribe to that Pivotal Decisions YouTube channel. That would be incredible. And you remember, until next time, the decisions you make today will determine your tomorrow.